Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles and stand to our feet. We're going to Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 20. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 20. It reads that this way. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as heard the word and receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we can hear your word on tonight. We pray for ears that will hear it, eyes that will see it, heart that will receive it, so that we can take our hands and feet and apply it for your glory, honor, and praise. Lord, let us be edified as a people on tonight, that you may be glorified in the great and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And just for a few minutes on tonight, all right, maximum production. All right. Maximum production. All right, so maximum production. Before we get into talking about our maximum production, let's understand where we are in the Bible. All right, we know that where we are is in Jesus's second year of ministry. All right, we believe that Jesus was 30 years old, or we know that Jesus, according to the scripture, was 30 years old when he began to minister, and he ministered approximately for 3.5 years before his death, burial, and resurrection. So in Jesus's first year, we call that his year of inauguration, right? He's getting started with his ministry in northern Israel and Galilee. And then, as we would say, his ministry picks up steam. So in Jesus's second year of ministry, it's called and commonly referred to as the year of popularity. All right, what made Jesus popular with the people is because he was doing miracles, signs, and wonders. Jesus was doing such great miracles that there was a time when he was in the synagogue and being in the synagogue and teaching, and there met him a man with an unclean spirit. That man with the unclean spirit, what is a man with an unclean spirit doing in the synagogue? I guess when you need help, right, we should come to church. And so here's this man, but Jesus just didn't see that need. Jesus did something about it. Jesus cast out the unclean spirit, and they marveled, because they hadn't heard or seen anything like that. He wasn't like one of the scribes, the religious authority. They knew that his word had power and authority. So Jesus is doing miracles, signs, and wonders, and he was touching and healing people left and right. And so that made Jesus very popular. So we're in the second year of his ministry. But how many of us know, all right, popularity with people does not last? Anybody ever tried to be a people pleaser? All right, you ever tried to please people? You know what you find out? That sooner or later, you can't make everybody happy. All right, if I try to please Elder White, well, then guess what, Isaiah, I'm going to make you mad. If I try to make Isaiah glad, then Brother Lionel, I'm going to make you mad. And so you find out, you know, it's a trick bag when you try to please everybody. So what I've learned is, instead of me trying to please everybody, I just try to please one, and that's God. So God is the one we want to please, because trying to please the people, and Jesus would recognize that, and at strategic times, he would pull away with his disciples. But everybody wants to know where Jesus is at. He's ministering in northern Galilee, in northern Israel, in Galilee, and Jesus is ministering to great multitudes. They're coming in throngs, and you know, Jesus has two really groups of people that he's ministering to. And just tonight, I would submit that there's two different groups of people in this room on tonight. All right, we fall into two different groups, those that believe and those that don't. There's only two types of groups, right? Those that believe and those that don't. And so Jesus knew the difference between people that would just come and they were just there for ulterior motives. They had a motive that they just wanted to get from Jesus, whatever they could get from Jesus. Some people, they only want Jesus right, for a new car. Some people only want Jesus for a new house. Somebody only wants Jesus for a new spouse. Listen, people want Jesus, but a lot of people want Jesus for the wrong reason. Start talking to people, right? You will talk to a lot of people, and they tell you that they love Jesus. But when you start to peel back their motives, you find out that they say they have for the Lord doesn't stop them from doing what they do. It doesn't stop them from going where they go. Right? Doesn't stop them from really living a life that will glorify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are two types of people that Jesus is ministering to. So how do you minister to those that really believe in here and in this room right now? People believe, some believe, and some don't. Some of us, we look like we believe. We can talk like we believe. We know how to Christian. We know how to put on a front. We know how to dress up the outward man. That's why, because man looks on the outward appearance. That's all where we can look. So you might look saved and sanctified to me, but God knows our heart. So how do you minister to these two different groups of people, the believers and the non-believers? Well, Jesus had a solution to that, and the solution to that was parables. We've heard of parables. Jesus employed parables as his most popular style of teaching. So what is a parable, right? We've heard it, but what is it, right? But a parable is just a truth illustrated by comparison. So you take a spiritual truth and you illustrate it through a natural comparison. You take the truth of God's love and you illustrate it, right, in the parable of the prodigal son, how the father loved the son. Even though the son had left and did all the things wrong, but the father still loved the son. But yet the older brother, the religious community, right, those are the ones that were really wrong. So Jesus often employed parables to make the point. So I asked myself, what's the point? What's the pop? What's the point of the parable? What is the truth that Jesus is getting at? Because that's the way that Jesus could talk to the believers, and they would hear it and they would understand it. It was like a secret decoder ring. Right? They could hear it and they could receive it. They could understand it. But the people, the unbelievers, it went right over their head. I wonder sometimes if, as we come in here and we hear the word and we start to say amen and preach and you better go ahead, and we affirm all those things, but then we don't do anything with it. Not only sometimes do I not do anything with it, I don't plan to do anything with it. But if all that Elder Hollis did on this morning was preach a great sermon, right, but I don't go out and live my certification, what good did that word I heard this morning really do? Right? I can know truth. And all the religious establishment, the ones that murdered their Messiah, they knew truth. That's why Jesus said, do as they say, but not as they do. So don't just get excited that I know truth. I got to get excited about living truth. We come to church to get equipped. We enter to worship and we exit to serve. What we receive on Sunday, we got to go out and live on Monday. And so that takes a plan. So Jesus, at this point in his ministry, he's popular with the people. He's got to minister to these two different groups. So he's using parables. I'm going to illustrate a truth by using a comparison. And so what Jesus does is that he begins to tell the parable of the sower, one of his most popular parables. I think we're all familiar with the parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow seed. And what I love about Jesus is that he wasn't talking about all these complex metaphysical things. He was talking about everyday common things. So many times we have this thing sometimes in the church where we want to know all these deep and profound truths, but I'm overlooking the truths that I do understand. I want to be able to argue and debate about all of these things that neither one of us can prove anyway, but I'm not living out the simple truth of love your neighbor as yourself. Be careful, right? Be careful that we don't just make the Bible a book that's just all about just this secret knowledge or something like that. No, it's simple truth that we need to go out and put to work. So Jesus uses things from everyday, ordinary life, and things that everybody could understand. They were an agricultural society, so he used something that they could understand. I'm going to make a point here. So he's telling this parable of the sower and the seed, and we know it. A sower, a farmer, goes out. He's going out to plant seed. Matter of fact, it's about that time, isn't it? Springtime. I'm not a farmer, but I would imagine, right, that farmers are getting ready to go out there. They're getting ready to plant seeds, right? So farmers right now here in Indiana, all right, big agricultural state, they're going out there. They're going out there to plant seeds. So they're going out there, and you know how what a farmer does? They just go out there, and you just cast the seed. We know we don't do it by hand anymore. They got machines and whatnot. They do it, but that's all you do. Just go out. I wish I had some seeds. I just throw some seeds out here. Throwing my imaginary seeds out here. I, like my sister Joyce, I throw some fruit snacks out here. Fruit snacks. Something, right? Some seeds, right? But we just throw the seeds out there. But will that seed produce? Right? Does the farmer know? Will that seed produce? We don't know. You cast it out there. So even right now, this sermon, will this sermon produce something in your life? I don't know. Will the sermon produce something in my life? I don't know, right? I don't know. Just because I heard it doesn't mean that I'm going to, that it's going to produce in my life. And the reason why I say that, because you know how the parable goes. The first seeds, they go to stony ground, right? So stony ground, stone. You can't grow anything on stone. We got that. The first seed goes to wayside. It goes by the wayside on the concrete, the asphalt. It can't produce anything. Then we get to stony ground. All right, doesn't have a lot of earth, it cannot produce. All right, then we get to thorny soil. It starts to produce, but gets choked out. And then finally, we know about the good ground of our text on tonight. So he tells this parable. All right, he that has ears, right, let him hear. Because on that good ground, it produced, that good soil produced 30 times as much, 60 times as much, 100 times as much as what was sown. The message is maximum production. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the first three categories of seed other than to say a few things. Because us that are born again, us that are born of his spirit and washed in his blood, us that have been filled with the precious gift and the power of the Holy Ghost, guess what? It's not a question of if you will produce. It's when you and how much you'll produce. See, once we crossed over to good, don't let the devil lie to you. Some of us out here, listen, if you've been born of his spirit and washed in his blood, I've been filled with the precious gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. What that lets me know is that, Lord, I'm going to produce. Listen, there's two types. There's unbelievers, and the unbelievers, they fall into those three categories. But I'm no longer in those old categories anymore. I received the word of God, and it's starting to produce in my life. The question is, how much in my life will it produce? See, I was like the first three types of soil. The word of God. I was raised in this church, 9 years old when I started coming here as a little boy. Anybody here nine? Who's nine? Who's nine? Ten. All right, stand up. Is that Kendall O'Reilly? What? Santos? Yeah, there they go. How old are y'all? You're nine. That was me. But I wasn't as good looking as you guys, all right? But that was me. 9 years old, right? 9 years old. So now I'm almost 47, grandfather, but I was 9 years old, right? And I was a kid. My parents brought me to Sunday school. They did all the things that they were supposed to do. Then I got into the teenage years. Thank you, Kayla, thank you. Thank you for your ministry, all right? Thank you for saying what you said on tonight. Thank you for letting the Lord use you on tonight, because that you got a ministry where you can connect in a way that I can't. So thank you for letting the Lord use you on tonight. Because we know all of us that got into those teenage years, whether you were in the church, anybody, listen, but I didn't have an house of the Holy Ghost. Listen, it got rough. All right, so as the word of God was being preached, I started rejecting the word of God. I came to that age of where I could decide, and I understood what was being said, and I started rejecting God's word. Sat in here like a lot of people are right now, not paying me a lick of attention, right? But I started rejecting God's word. I didn't want to hear what God had to say. So I rejected God's word for years. I left. And then, you know, God spoke to my heart. And then I, you know, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. So I felt good, right? I had rejected God, but something happened in my life. I received the Holy Ghost, but then what happened? I started a relationship, but I took a wrong turn at religion. See, I started a relationship with God, but I took a wrong turn at religion. I thought just coming to the place made me the thing. I thought that just me coming. So at some point, my walk with the Lord just became religious. I wasn't any better than the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, the chief priests and the elders, that Sanhedrin, that religious community. I knew a lot, but I did very little. Felt good. I thought I was doing something, but there was no fruit. How I knew I was in religion, there was no fruit. Because fruit is the mark. We'll talk about that here in a second. Fruit is the mark of a true relationship. I can be up here and say what I want to say. I can say it as passionately and as charismatically as you'd like to hear it. But if there's no fruit in my life when I leave this stage, guess what? That's nothing but religion. So there I was. I was rejection. Then I became a religionist. But how many of us know that the word keeps going forth? The sower, he keeps sowing this. Oh, come on, Lord. I hear you. The word keeps going. The word, because God loves us so much, the word keeps coming. But I thank God that one day, that word that kept coming transferred me back from religion to relationship. Rejection, religion, relationship. I thank God that I'm in right relationship. And now I'm not just up here telling you I'm in a right relationship with God. You don't have to believe me on tonight, but I got the fruit to back it up. Fruit matters. Fruit matters, right? But now, those of us that are saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, those of us not shucking and jiving, those of us that are thrown off religion, those of us that are embracing a relationship, those of us that the Lord is our joy, those of us who the Lord is our delight, those who love the Lord with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. Those of us, listen, who loving their neighbor as themselves. Oh, it doesn't make me perfect. I still struggle and I got issues, but there's some fruit along the way. So now we know that we that are in this group. And if you're not on the group tonight, let me tell you, there's hope for you. All right, there's hope, all right? You can change the soil. God, Ezekiel, I think 36:26, but I will give you a new heart. He'll change. He'll take away that old stony heart. And anybody know about that? That old thorny heart. That wayside heart. God will take away that old heart. I heard Renee talking about it on tonight. She talking about her heart. God will give you a new heart. Anybody who have a witness in here on tonight? God will give you a new heart. So now we get to the meat of the message. Mark 4 and 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground. That's us. That's us who believe the Lord. We're sown on good ground. We've been given a new heart, and so this is what happens. In order to produce, you need the right conditions. In order to produce, we need the right conditions. So what we have to do, we got to make sure that I hear the word. So what it means more than hear, right? You know, it's not just hearing like I hear the sound, but I'm listening for the intent. I hear what the word is speaking. I hear what the word is saying. When the word of God is coming forth, it ain't about, oh, this person should hear this and this person should hear that. No, I'm letting the word judge. I'm hearing the word. And I'm going to tell you how you really know you're hearing the word, because the word of God does three things. It does this. It reproves. It rebukes. And it exhorts. So before I just think my relationship with the Lord is all exhort, 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 I've got to understand something that, listen, God's word is going to challenge me. Because if it doesn't challenge you, guess what? It won't change you. So here comes God's word. So we are such that hear the word, right conditions. God is using his word to judge any latent sinfulness in my heart, any place that's not right, he's letting me know about so I can repent and confess and forsake. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We hear the word. Not only do we hear it, but we receive it. Lord, I listen, that's personal. It's coming to me. It's not a general word, right? But it's a specific word that God is speaking in my life that he's using to change me. And here's where we're going on tonight. And it does what? It brings forth. Y'all ain't with me. Y'all asleep already? I promise I won't be long. Listen. Because, listen, a fruit, if I'm not producing fruit, Elder said I'm dead. We know the parable of the fig tree, that Jesus went to that tree. And we got to the fig tree, it had leaves. The leaves were an indication that it had fruit. But upon closer inspection by our Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't find any. The Bible says it was nothing but leaves. It was nothing but just something we dress up on the outside. But behind the scenes, there's no fruit. And Jesus cursed that fig tree. And I'm so glad, you know, if I think about just a picture of the Bible, two different trees, that fig tree that was cursed. But then there was another tree that the Lord said, but let it alone. Or in the parable, he says, but let it alone this year also. Give me another chance. Are anybody glad for another chance? Anybody glad to say, but Lord, I thank you that you're giving me another chance? Lord, I thank you. He's getting the conditions of the soil right. We're hearing. We're receiving the word. We're bringing forth fruit. So here we are. Here we are, but we know that what God wants, what God expects as the landowner. How many know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein? So God owns every tree. Every tree belongs to God. So listen, what God expects as the owner of everything, he's looking for fruitfulness. Nothing less. He expects fruitfulness, nothing less. So if that's the case, I had better understand and get my head around, okay, what is fruit? For I would ask the question tonight, what is fruit? All right, what is fruit? Right, well, we know fruit is a metaphor. Y'all know what a metaphor is, right? A metaphor is just something he's just using as an illustration. We're not talking about bananas or oranges or apples. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for production. He's looking for good works. So Jesus said this, right? In the Beatitudes or the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. But he said that they may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. So what is fruit? Fruit equals good works. Fruit equals works. And remember what we're talking about on tonight is maximum production. So let me clarify. All of us in this room, as fruit bearers, are not going to produce the same amount. We all have a capacity. We all have a cap. And that's just what the Lord decides. And I'll back that up with scripture, right? What the Bible says about, you know, to one servant he gave 5 talents, to another 3, to another 1. So God is the one who decides how much of it we get. God decides, okay, but listen, but I'm expecting the 30 times as much. I'm expecting the 60 times. Some of us, listen, too much is given, much is required. So here's what the Lord is expecting. But if he gave you the 30-fold, 30 times as much, 20 times won't do it. If he gave you the 60, right, 50 won't do it. If he gave you the 199 and a half. So maximum production is our goal. Now, here, you know, in life in the 21st century, we have learned to settle, haven't we? I mean, right, you know, back in the olden days, back in the day, right, you know, let's just talk about service, right? Anybody remember the days of really good quality service when you went to a restaurant? Right. When you went to, you know, even a fast food place back in the day. I mean, you remember there was a day when you got quality service. But how many of us have lowered our expectations? If I get my food, that's a win. Most of it, you know, that's a win, right? If I go in now, we don't even talk to people. We engage with screens. right? You go in, you don't even talk to a person, you engage with a screen. You know, when you go into a restaurant, if they're in the middle of the conversation, don't interrupt them. Don't let them finish their conversation before you just, you know, jump in there, right? Because they're going to make your food. Be nice, I'm telling y'all. Prove your point if you want to, I'm telling you. You're going to eat the food. So I worked at fast food, I'm just telling you. But what we've done is that we have lowered our expectations. But God hasn't. God hasn't lowered his expectation for his church because he knows what he put in us. And so what we got to know is, okay, but Lord, where am I not meeting maximum production for you in my life, be it 30, 60, or 100? Where are my good works falling short? So let's talk about some of the good works in broad categories. But one of the things that we should be producing fruit in, all right, is how we serve one another. All right, so let's start internally. How I serve you, right? We said outside in the world, right, our expectation has gone down. But guess what? Here in the church, how we treat each other, that expectation has also done what? It's gone down. Now how I treat you, how I talk to you, right? Saints didn't used to talk to saints like saints talk to saints today. Is that real talk? I mean, you know, where we love one another, but there are just things that we feel like that now it's okay to start to drop my service because, you know what, I really don't like you that much. I love you, but I don't like you. And other lies the devil tells. All right? So where I'm telling you, this is what's good. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling us. We get to practice on each other. My daughter, it's Ashley time. She's my only daughter in the house, so she knows that I get to use her as my constant illustration. She's my muse. She inspires me. You know, look at her. Look at Ashley. She's just so inspirational. She loves all this attention. She really does. See, I'm going to hear about this later. But my daughter, Ashley, so she just got back from South Carolina. She flew on a plane for the first time by herself. Yeah, they flew her out to Florence, South Carolina, went to Charlotte, then Florence, and she was gone for 2 weeks, y'all. And I'm going to tell y'all, the daddy in me did not want to let her go. But you know what? I said, you know, she's an adult, and listen, we put the right things in her. We trust the Lord, just like they trusted the Lord with me and like God is trusted. So I said, but Lord, we let her go. So she went out there, but she's helping to open up a new restaurant. And so when she's opening up a new restaurant, what happens is that what they have to do is they practice before they open. So on the Saturday, right, am I telling this right, Ashley? On the Saturday before they open, family and friends day, you get to invite your family and friends. They get to order whatever they want to on the menu. They're practicing for the big open. But on that day, Ashley, of the practice, did everything go well? Probably not, right? Were some orders messed up? Was there some yelling back and forth between the co-workers? Were there some issues and problems along the way? All right, because that's what happens internally. But listen, that's what's going to happen with us internally. But by love, we got to serve one another. This is the place. If we can't get it right among ourselves, we ain't never going to get it right out there. So what I have to do is learn that, listen, us here in this room, we're practicing on each other. So when we go out there, we can win somebody with the good news of Jesus Christ. If I'm not loving you, I know I ain't gonna love my enemy. If I'm not apologizing to you, I know I'm not gonna apologize to my enemy. If I'm going to go off on you, I know I'm going to go off in the world. I heard you, Brother Montreal. I heard you. Don't lose my witness. Because that's the other one that we get. So once we work on each other in here, and where I'm not, stop making excuses for why I'm not what I should be doing. Call it what it is. S-I-N. It's sin. It's sin. Sin of pride and self-righteousness. Arrogance, ego, attitude, it's sin. Call it what it is. Repent of it. Confess it. Forsake it so we can move on. My prayer for us, Lord, please, Lord, bless us to be unified so you can be glorified. My prayer for us, spiritual maturity, Lord, that we can grow and we can make a difference before you come. But if we're fighting and biting among ourselves, and oh, by the way, I'm the biggest cause of disunity in the church. That's why I have to see myself. Because when I always feel like it's somebody else, I never look at myself in the mirror. Come on, come on. So that's what I do. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but that's how I feel. And so, Lord, as I'm working, Lord, as the Holy Ghost is working his will out in my life. So the other big fruit we're just talking about on tonight and we're moving is about being a witness. So fruitfulness, y'all. Fruitfulness. Maximum production. Right? So we got, he's right, you got, we got to have that. Fruit trees produce fruit. It's what fruit trees do. Thank God we got a nice backyard. God blessed us, got a nice backyard. I almost bought a picture, put it up there. It's a really, really nice backyard. But you know what? As I was thinking about this message, as nice as the backyard is, really lush and green, Brother Larry comes out, treats it. All right, he treats the yard. He gets the yard looking good. Plug for Brother Larry's lawn care service right there. Keeps the church looking good, right? So listen, but it keeps it looking really good. I got the trees, the whites and the purples. It's pretty, y'all. Is it pretty, Shonda? I really like it from the inside. I don't like going outside. But I like it from the inside. But you know what the Holy Ghost showed me as I was getting ready for this message? As beautiful as that backyard is, you know what that backyard is missing? Fruit trees. Not one of those trees in my backyard produces fruit. That's a lot of leaves. It's a lot of beauty. It's a lot of all those things. But you know what? No fruit. We went to South Carolina and we stayed a few days with my wife's father and staying there, but he was telling us about his fruit trees. Now, they weren't the prettiest trees, but they were producing trees. Saints, listen, I'm going to tell you what. It might not be the prettiest. I might not have the prettiest praise. Listen, I might not have the prettiest shout. It might not be pretty, but as long as I'm producing fruit, that's what glorifies God. Looking pretty. Doesn't matter how much I know. Doesn't matter how much I get my verb and my subject verb agreement. None of that matters. What matters is fruit. Fruit of serving one another. Serving one another inside. You're my internal customer. And then going outside, sharing the good news. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Montreal, teed me up. It's my man Monty. Triple M, my man Monty, right there. So what he said, and y'all heard his testimony. He's at work, and, you know, at work, like at school, like everywhere else you go in your neighborhood, there's always big opportunities for you to lose your witness. So all Satan wants you to do is to lose your witness. But what I love about it, as you grow in godliness, as you grow in maturity, and there might have been a time, Montreal, don't tell your business, but it might not have been a time where he got it right every time. Maybe he didn't always say the right thing. If not you, that's me. I didn't say the right things out there in the world, and guess what? I know about losing a witness because I got in my flesh. And so what happens is that he stayed silent. So as we talk about fruit, how do I do it? How do I produce fruit? It's really simple. Sometimes bearing fruit looks like this or sounds like this. Somebody didn't catch it. Sometimes bearing fruit sounds like this. Sometimes what I found is that I'm speaking when I should be silent. And then other times, when I should be sharing the good news, I'm silent when I should be speaking. Make sure I'm being led by the Holy Ghost because I don't want to lose my witness. Sometimes, listen, Jesus, the scripture says he answered nothing. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knows who he is. And Jesus didn't have to prove it to anybody. I don't have to prove anything to anybody out there in that world. I got to learn to shut my mouth. That's what fruitfulness looks like. It's extremely, the gospel, I'm telling y'all, it's extremely practical. So here's what it is. We got to win them with our witness. This is the fruit that the Lord Jesus Christ is expecting from us, from his church, is fruitfulness. And that fruitfulness looks like filling up this place with souls. There's still room. Yes, sir. There's still room. And I don't know if any of y'all are like me. I struggled with witnessing for years. I got a more extroverted personality, but sharing my faith, that was a struggle. Oh, in here, I was all loud and boisterous, and out there, I was all silent. So what I learned how to do, it looks like just me having a conversation with somebody. Thank God for this man right here. Well, shake your hand. Say, that's my good elder, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. I'm telling you, he just impresses me because, Brother White, what you see is what you get. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's him. But just hearing how he just lived his witness, even just being himself. And so whoever you are, God's never going to ask you to do or be somebody that you're not. I can't be you and you can't be me. Just be who you are. But what we all got to do is open up our mouth. And so I'm going to tell y'all a couple stories and we're going to start to bring it to a close. But me, it just looked like being nice. I was always kind of just a friendlier guy. I found out that just a smile on my face and a wave of the hand, you know, that's just something. My wife and I, we walk the neighborhood. Every car that drives by, we just wave. We don't know them people. We just wave and smile. That's what we do. That's what we do. I mean, just so it's called friendship evangelism. Friendship evangelism. Just be nice. How about let's start with that. Tell you, the gospel is practical. Start with being nice. And start, I know when I get out of the car and I'm walking into work, listen, I'm out in public. Let's go public. Let's go public. So I go in there and I got to go through security and I walk through security and I walk in and I'm just nice. Hey, how y'all doing? Da, 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 da. Just 30 seconds going through security. And one day I made it through the other side of security. And as I'm walking in the building, the young security guy, 18, 19 years old, young, and he stops me. Hey, he said, do you go to Victory Tabernacle? I said, no, sir. I said, no, I know Bishop, but I don't go to Victory. He said, oh, man, you just look familiar. I said, okay. And then that struck up a conversation that started, I'm telling you, when you start talking to another person, you teed me up. So now you know something about church. Well, let's talk church. Where do you go to church at? And you know what he says? And I love it. Oh, I love the world because they just so raw and honest. He said, you know what, man? I'll be real. I don't go to church. Okay, cool. But guess what? I said, you know where, you know, Agape? I said, where do you live? He says, around here. I said, okay, you know where Agape is? I said, no. I said, yeah, just down the street, Georgetown. He said, no. I said, right on the corner. He said, is that where those basketball courts are? Yeah, I said, you got it. I said, you got it. And invited that soul to church. Right? I'm telling you, right? But if we're going to start and engage in a conversation, let your light so shine. We're talking about being fruitful, and it's easier than we think. It's right there. And so, okay, then another day I'm on the job, and I'm out there, and I'm walking just through the area. Guy has this look on his face. Brother, what's wrong? He says, man, I'm stressed out. I said, oh, man, don't let this job stress you out. It's just a job. It'll be all right. He says, no, man, it's not here at work, man. It's outside of work. I said, okay. I said, well, you know, I said, I'm going to get in your business. I like that. I said, but this is what I said. This is what I said. I said, but I'll be praying for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, this brother don't look like nothing. He want nothing to do with Jesus. He just got that look, but so did I. And so this dude, you know, just, yeah, okay. And I'm walking away. I said, I'll keep you in prayer. So I'm walking away, and he's like walking with me. He said, man, can you pray? Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me and my girlfriend? And so you know what I did right there in the middle of the plant, right there in the middle of what we're doing? Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you. And right then and there, guess what we had? It wasn't long. It wasn't drawn out, but we had a word of prayer right there. Let your light so shine. I used to make witnessing and talking about faith, but listen, I told y'all, we live in a world gone wild. You can talk about anything. So guess what? We can talk about Jesus. I mean, I'm just telling you, and the more you do it, the more you do it, the more you open up your mouth with your coworker. I'm just telling them now. Listen, I be telling people, I'm a Christian. This is why I start off, I'm a Christian. And what the Bible says is, I'm coming out the closet, y'all. I'm just telling y'all. I'm coming out the closet. I'm putting my flag up. I got my flag for Jesus Christ. I got my flag. I'm going to put my bumper sticker on. Jesus, I'm going to tell y'all. Telling y'all, I am not, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed. Listen, I got nothing to be ashamed of, but I got to bear fruit. That we bring, may bring forth, John 15, I think, we may bring forth more fruit and much fruit. We're coming home, all right? We're coming to a close. We're almost done. Because what I have to always do, I said, Lord, as I read my Bible, I got to understand what it's saying. I got to understand why it's saying it. But then I got to understand, how do I do it? If I got the what, that's good. If I got the why, that's better. If I got the how, am I going to do it, that's best. How am I going to do it? And sometimes it's like, I just need a step. Give me a 1, 2, 3 guide. So hopefully some of these things we're talking about on today, that we can take it out in the world and apply it. Elder Hollis said it. You're going to get this question. How many people going to work tomorrow? Raise your hand. Who's going to work tomorrow? Who's going to work tomorrow? And how many people, just by a show of hands, typically on Monday, they ask you the question, how was your weekend? Put your hands up. Nobody? All right. So a lot of people here. Nobody? Y'all? Okay. A lot of people, though. Right? They will ask, that's a typical work question. How was your weekend? And, you know, I will initiate, and I don't just ask them the how was your weekend, because you know what they'll say? They'll say good, and that'll be it. Got to ask an open-ended question. What was the highlight of your weekend? Ask them an open-ended question. So that's a question that requires more than a yes or no. So what was the highlight? Zay, what was the highlight of your weekend? Coming to church. Oh, that really the highlight? Oh, all right. He's all right. Good parents. All right. Coming to church. I don't know. Y'all don't know. Good job. Coming to church was the highlight of his weekend. But listen, but whenever you ask people out in the world, they're going to tell you something, whatever. But then when they're going, typically, if you ask them, they'll ask you, what about you? Glad you asked. At church yesterday, the minister talked about certification. And, you know, he talked about, man, you know, how you, when you go to the post office, make it super simple. You go to the post office, and you got to have a name, and you got to get the package sealed. Well, guess what, man? That the name is Jesus. All right? The seal, we're going to be sealed with the Holy Ghost. It was a good message. I really enjoyed it. And they're like, okay, all right. And you don't know. You don't know, because it could be like Montreal. Tell me more. But listen, I'll miss 100% of the shots that I don't take. Take the shot. Stop worrying about a hit or miss or what they think about you. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. What does it matter anyway? Right? What does it matter? You're already going to hate me. But there are people like you and I were out in the world waiting for somebody to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody's waiting. Somebody's waiting for you to give them an invitation, a gospel invitation. And I tell people, a lot of people are unchurched. They don't come to church today. So you know what we get the privilege of doing? We take the church to them. They didn't come to church. They weren't in church all day like we were, but I was. I got filled up so I can pour out. Mark 4:20. I told you I'm wrapping it up. But Elder said good word, and so I try to end, you know, message and sermons. I tell them it's only good if you do it. Yeah, just knowing it don't make it good, right? But I got to take it in some type of practical way. And you got to ask the Holy Ghost, Lord, help me to do it. I want to reach my fruit capacity. I don't know whether you're 30. I don't know whether you're 60. And I don't know whether you're 100. But you, all of us in this room, all of us Holy Ghost filled people, we all have a capacity. And what I want to do is that I'm not at maximum production, right? Listen, what the Lord is going to do, he'll prune you so you can bring forth more fruit. That suffering that you're going through, guess what that's for? It's for you to bring forth more fruit. Because more fruit, that's because God is growing us up. That's how God grows us up. That's how you don't always stay this little immature, small fruit tree. No, God prunes it so we can bring forth more fruit. And y'all have heard me say this before about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? That's what the fruit tree does, right? That's what the fruit tree produces. And I've never seen a tree eating its own fruit. I've never seen a tree that eats its own fruit. And then don't be mad when they're picking on you, when they pick on your love, and then they pick on your joy, and they pick on your peace. Why? That's what fruit trees are for. Fruit ain't for us. Fruit is for the world. I'm mad they picking on me. Yeah, they supposed to pick. Thank God. You know what? Next Sunday come back. Thank God they was picking on me. Because there was some fruit they could pick. I had some fruit. They was picking on me, y'all, this week. Y'all just shout. Why do you think the apostles were so glad? They counted it as worthy to suffer shame for his name. They picking on us. Lord, let them pick on us so we can bring forth some more fruit and some much fruit for the glory of God. Mark 4 and 20. And these are they which are sown on. Y'all, we are they. Who's the they? Y'all, who's the they? I'm at work all the time. The question I get, infuriates me. They said, who's they? Who's they that said it? That drives me crazy. But I'm going to tell y'all tonight who the they is us. This is us. But they, and they that are sown, we've been sown on good ground. We're on good soil. We've heard the word today. We've received the word today. And you know what that word in us is going to produce? It's going to produce more fruit. We're maximizing our productivity. I just jumped on Google. I was wondering what Google had to say about it. Top strategies for improving productivity. Top strategies for improving productivity brought to you by Google or AI. It might be a chat box. I don't know. All right. It says review your goals daily. Let's make it super practical, and I'm done. I promise. I'll be done 8:30. But listen, make it super practical. Let's start with a goal. All right, because remember, in order to produce fruit, we need the right conditions, right? The fruit needs the S-U-N. We need the S-O-N. We need to stay in the sun, right? And we need to stay in the S-O-N. That requires time in prayer, sacrifice. Requires a time in the Word of God, sacrifice. But set that goal of whatever it is I'm going to do. Start small, right? 5, 10, 15, whatever it is, manageable goals that I can do. Because listen, maybe I'm not producing as much because I'm not in the right conditions. Make sure I got the right conditions and fruit will take care of it. I'm telling you, stay connected in fellowship. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Even when you're here, be all here. All right? Don't just be here in body. Be all here. So listen, what it says is review those goals daily. Have that goal of godliness. Have that goal of witnessing. Lord, I want to talk to 3 people, so I'll tell y'all a trick that I do. 3 minutes. Tell y'all a trick that I do, so I get some of the agape cards, but I only allow myself to take like 2 of them. And before I can get any more of them, anybody ever had a pocket full of cards and you never use them? I got to give away the 2. I got to, so I can come back and get some more. I'm proud to say that I got to go get some more cards tonight before I leave because I've been sharing the good news. Right? That's a seed that I go out there and plant. It says minimize time-wasting activities. You want to increase productivity? Minimize time-wasting activities. Enough said. All right. Minimize. If you want to be more productive, minimize time-wasting activities. And then I love this one. Oh, y'all, we're going home on this one. You ready, Jamal? You ready? Right, I don't need an organ for this one. Don't worry. I know you played it out for Elder Hollis. I thought about Elder Hollis. He is a gifted orator. Elder Hollis is a gifted speaker. And I wrote down, I had said something in Sunday school that he said this morning. I said the same thing he said, but he said it so much better. You know, he just says it so much better. He does. He just says it so much better. I just like the way he says it. All right. But the last one, going home on this one. Everybody stand up. We're getting ready to pray. Stand up. Everybody, we're going home on this one. 8:29. All right, come on, we're going home on this one. All right, the last thing, if you want to increase your productivity, you need to have one-on-one meetings. Y'all didn't get it? You need to have one-on-one meetings with who? Lord God, even though they missed it, Lord, even though. Lord, as we bow our heads and pray. Lord, even though I tried, Lord, I did my best. But, Lord, we know that we need, Lord God, to be productive. We know, Lord God, that you are looking for fruit. We know, Lord God, that, Lord, we are on the good ground. on good soil, in good conditions. Lord, help us, Lord God, fruit internally, Lord, in the body of Christ, that we serve one another in love. And Lord God, externally, Lord God, in our witness, help us to open up our mouth. I come against and bind fear. I come against distractions. I come against everything that's holding us back from being more fruitful than what we are right now. I pray, Lord God, where we have not met our maximum productivity, that we will grow, Lord God, and be producing more and more and more for the glory of God, till this faith place is so filled up we got to bust out the walls, and we got to, Lord, add on for the souls that will be coming in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. Come on, give God a praise. Come on, give him a praise. Come on, give him a praise. Come on, give him a praise.